Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Jonah Dew,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Ryan Pills,
and Journeyman Dan
in the house.
Man, we are so excited to be back with you again for another board gaming podcast, Tantrum House podcast, where we get to talk about all sorts of fun things. And today we're going to talk about a few topics. We're going to talk about Essen, the Essen Spiel board game convention coming up. We're going to talk about some of the board games that we've had some fun playing. We each even got a game to the table tonight that has been cracking me up. I've been absolutely dying at this game.
We will definitely have to share with the listeners this at the end. Maybe do a game show at the end.
Oh, yeah. We might have some fun with it. And I think we're going to talk about some Kickstarters as well, some games coming to Kickstarter or other crowdfunding platforms, just depending on what game they are. So we're going to have some fun with you. Thanks for joining us. And let's get into it. What games have we been playing recently?
Last night, I taught my wife Kingdom Builder, which I know is a little bit older of a game. It's been on the shelf for a while, and she hadn't played it. And she said, hey, let's play a game. So taught that to her, and she really likes it.
Hey.
So, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Kingdom Builder by Donald X, who did Dominion. So a lot of, you know, playing your houses out on this map based on cards you draw, and there are different scoring goals, and so how you play your houses onto the map, how you move them around, all comes into play. A lot of fun, really simple. We actually ran through like three games in an hour, so a lot of fun with her last night.
Go for it, Ryan.
Cool. We played 10 last night.
Hey, got like that game.
Got it to the table again. I know I won during our live video, but I busted every single hand.
You pushed too hard?
I don't think I took... Well, I might have taken one, but it was like every time, second card, bust, every time. it was harsh.
That's tough when it's the second card, because yeah, you're feeling like, I got to be able to pull one more out here.
And you know, we pulled out an old classic, Robo Rally. Haven't played that in a long time. I was leading from like the second turn, I was like way ahead of the pack, because nobody was attacking me. And so I was just able to do whatever I wanted. And then I made a miscalculation and someone was able to just shoot by me and steal the win. It's like, oh, that hurt. Mm. If I had been in the pack the whole time, wouldn't have hurt. But my early fortune was reversed, and that, oh, it was just hard to take.
I enjoy Robo Rally, but we do have a few friends who will never play it with us again. And part of it's the left and right directions. One of our friends programmed his whole thing opposite, and it basically derailed his whole game.
Yeah, I think I just missed a card was the deal. I thought I had six cards, but I only laid five or something. Or I played the third card last when it should have been third. It was just, oh, it was so bad. So
we picked up a couple games at Gen Con. One of them was Suspects. From Studio H. It is a mystery-themed sort of detective. You're a detective. Do you remember her name? Claire?
Claire Harper.
Claire Harper. You are Claire Harper, and you're trying to basically solve the mystery. It does it differently than a lot of other sort of mystery games. It actually just is a deck of cards, and you get some information at the beginning of the game, and throughout the game you are finding leads and items and getting to talk to other people in the case. By doing this, you actually are pulling cards from the deck. It'll say, like, pull card 62, pull card 44, if you want to find different leads. And you are scored based on how many cards you actually decide to pull. So you can basically stop pulling cards at a certain point in the game and say, I think I figured out who did it and what the murder weapon is and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can even lock in. Usually there's about five or six questions, and you can lock in your answers for maybe three of them at a certain card count and then draw some more cards to try to figure out the other answers too. So it's not an all or nothing sort of thing. So you can get a different amount of points on different questions depending on when you lock in your answer. And even if you lock it in and you find more information, you're like, oh, we were wrong. You can change your answer, but now you're doing it at the higher card count instead of the earlier count.
Cool.
So yeah, it came with three cases in the box.
And there is one scenario that came in a different box, and it actually is a game we will probably be playing on our channel live, so you can sort of get a taste for it. Dan?
Well, I really want to talk about the game that we just played at the table, but I know
because
we have to wait.
So funny.
But we played another game at the table. We did. Jonah, what was that game?
That game was called Keep It 100. And this game was, I actually thought it had a really unique aspect to it, like the gameplay. So what you do is you put two number cards out on the table, and the numbers range from 0 to 100. So I think the two that we had this today was like, one was a 12 and one was a, I don't know, a 50 or something like that. And then you have a scenario that's like a survey question. It's almost like Family Feud style, right? It's like out of 100,
yeah, definitely.
You know, pregnant women, we ask them how many of them think that their husbands actually help out with the kids. And you actually have to place that card, whether you think it's below 12% of, or 12 people out of the 100, in the middle of 12 and 50, which are the two numbers you had out there, or to the right of 50, meaning it's going to be higher than 50 people. If you get it right, your card then flips over, reveals the number of, you know, women who answered that question, and it stays in that spot if you get it right, which of course just impacts your timeline, your number line. So now you've got three numbers in that number line instead of just the two you started with. And then it awards points based on if you guessed it correctly and or if the people who you're playing with thought you guessed it correctly or thought you were too high or thought you were too low or whatnot. So I really thought that was pretty unique. Yeah. And it plays up to 8 people. So party-style game that can play a lot of people. It was kind of fun reading through the survey questions even just to have – I mean, that one was pretty obscure that I mentioned, but I'm like pretty sure that was really close to one of the questions that we
yeah,
had.
Yeah, you were very close. I will throw this out because we are a family-friendly group here. There are some adult questions in it, so you can separate those and that's fine, but I know I looked at mine. I was like, oh, my 7-year-old's playing. We should maybe make sure. So it is a lot of fun, but just be aware of that when you check it out.
Yeah. There was a good number of the adult ones, but there was more of the not adult ones. We probably found 15 to 20 adult ones, but then there was still a stack of 50, you know.
Oh, at least.
60, yeah. Maybe even more than that, the ones that weren't adult. So, yeah, I'd agree with you.
Melissa and I played a game called Origins First Builders, which is not based on the convention Origins. And Will and Sarah are not here in this podcast, but they said they might record a separate sort of recording and plug it into this podcast. So if you hear Will and Sarah...
They shot it after the fact.
They shot it way after the fact.
We don't know them.
Don't know who they are.
Because they are currently in real time live driving home from Origins, the convention.
Right. But Origins First Builders is a game from Board and Dice. And this is a dice worker placement game where you are trying to collect resources and go up this military track and go up these temple tracks. Trying to create districts in your in front of you. They're basically like hex tiles in front of you. And collect these districts that will basically give you points by building your towers and things like that. But you're basically able to move your dice pips up. So you're never like really rolling the dice in front of you. Your dice are basically increasing in value from round to round. So you're able to use them on the different spaces on the board.
Yeah, kind of like, is it Teotihuacan, where your dice age up as you play and things like that. So at the end of each round, your dice will increase. And if they get to 6, they're more powerful. But at the end of that round, you're going to lose that die. It's either going to become an advisor, which is going to help you for endgame points. Or if you already have that color die as a 6, you have to get rid of it. So you really have to balance, do I want mid-range dice, high dice, low dice? Because you have to take actions to get new dice. And we played the other day with 4 players, and my sister-in-law, Hannah, had a lot of high dice. And so at the beginning of the game, she was really being able to do a lot.
And get lots of points.
Lots of points, powerful. Mm-hmm. But then she's like, oh, I just lost three dice this round. Mm-hmm. I only have one die left. So, and it's like going from three or four workers down to one.
Mm-hmm. Can really hurt you.
And so you really have to kind of balance the dice and the values that you have and kind of pre-plan and think through things.
This is a game where you can do a lot of really cool things and get lots of resources and do lots of things on the board. But if you're not strategic and getting the thing, doing the things that will get you points, then basically you're sort of like running your engine, but you're not really going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, which it is still fun that you're like placing your dice and getting dice, but like going up the temple track, super important to get you points. Completing districts is really important. And then building your tower in front of you is super important. And those are the main three ways of getting points. There is going up the military track too, which Paul Michael did pretty well at that. So,
yeah. So Origins First Builders, it's a dice worker placement, a little bit of dice drafting. Like Kevin was saying, balancing a lot of different things. You have different avenues you can explore, but you do have to plan. And if you do a little bit of everything, you're not actually going to get points. So you have to kind of choose some strategies and avenues and really push them hard to be able to get the points. Otherwise, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I didn't actually do enough of anything to actually get the points. But I've really enjoyed it.
Cool. Anything else before we move into our Kickstarter conniption?
Yeah, last Monday, Ryan and I played Sebastral, and that was my first time playing that
That for the first time correctly. I played this probably 10 to 12 times.
Ryan made a note when he was teaching me how to play. He was like, oh, I don't think Kevin knows this rule.
Was it the added card to your hand?
I was like, why does this card have a +1 on it? That doesn't make any sense based on the rules I've played.
See?
And so I looked it up. I was like, oh, we've never played that.
I totally agree. I played it right at a community game night. Yeah. Finally, correctly.
Yeah. I really
so
enjoyed
much
it.
More fun.
I really enjoyed it. Is it? Was it more fun? I thought it was a fine game. I thought it was really cool. I got tricked a little bit coming around the corner.
Like the end game scoring?
Yeah. No, well, oh, I didn't even try end game scoring. Ryan did that for me.
Okay.
Because when he was explaining it, I was like, oh, no, I don't know. End game scoring was a little tough because it was.
But now you played it, it's pretty simple.
Well, no.
Okay.
If I was the one in charge of scoring and reading the rules, I'd have to reread it.
Okay.
But it's not like it was the craziest thing ever. It was just like, oh, you're not going to get this the first time. Like, right. You need to pay attention.
I just try and explain it like you're trying to get mixed sets of cards, and you're also trying to get the same set of cards.
Yeah.
But that same set of cards you want later in your sets to get more maximum points.
Right. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game.
Cool. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Tescara Games. Their game, Mythical Beings, is on Kickstarter starting October 11th, and it'll be on for 30 days. And this game is for two players, and it's a strategic confrontation card game, but it has funny beings in it. It has beautiful artwork and mythical creatures of the world. There's lots of documentation to learn about the creatures and the cultures. So check out Mythical Beings on Kickstarter.
At first, I thought you said mythical beans, like the vegetable or fruit, I guess.
This is not magical. Jack and the Beanstalk. No, it's mythical beings.
Yeah, so let's chime in. I love it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Origins and your extremely long trip away.
We were gone for months. It was insane. So first off, I do think I got to kick back to Gen Con for 2 seconds to defend my sweet scooter crash. Can we just start right there?
I was The crash was not sweet at all.
I have heard tales of the crash, and I want to know what on earth was going on.
Okay, so here's the details. We're secretly headed back at light speed, and I don't know why.
It was because you go fast on scooters.
Everyone is going very fast. I'm left blocks behind. I'm trying to catch up. We passed Maniac on the side of the road, which was left entirely out of last podcast episode.
Oh, I thought you were in front of everybody.
No, he was behind.
Backwards.
I'm in the back.
Because he was messing with the Maniac on the street for no reason. Why? Just ride by. You're going 15 miles an hour. Just go on by. Yeah.
Guy is on the street, probably a little inebriated. He's yelling at us. And not
he
mean,
wasn't yelling at us.
Not
he was yelling
things.
At the world.
He was yelling at the world. Okay, I agree. And he's yelling things like, give it your all. Do 100%, you guys. You live your best life now. To which I replied, yeah. As I'm driving by.
Why?
because he wanted a response. He was asking. I was the friendly thing
he
to
wasn't
do.
Asking you anything.
And then his response is, "You ain't giving it your all. You riding on a scooter." To which I had to look back and give him props because it was funny. You should never look back on a scooter. Rule number one. I look back in front of me. The sidewalk has turned into this like tumultuous South California earthquake prone scattered cement everywhere.
I went over them with no issues.
There's like juts coming out razor sharp. I realized instantly, oh shoot, I'm going to crash. I still had like another 3 meters before a meter before I hit it, but it was too late. All I was thinking was, I don't want to eat the handlebar of this scooter. So as I'm flying through the air, at least like 9 feet off the ground, I chuck the scooter to the side, which I think was a good decision. And then I'm like hurling headlong, face first, into the cement. I was able to pull off, I'm going to say, a pretty impressive...
Into the road. Not just the cement, into the road.
Well, I don't remember this part, but it's possible there was a concussion.
He woke up in the road.
I did the like wheelbarrow mode. You know how like if somebody's holding your ankles, you like move your hands as fast as you can? Mm-hmm. I crawled like 5 paces on my hands with my feet still vertical above my head before I landed gently...
His face.
On my
right
face.
Right on your face. Yeah. I was in front of
road
Will.
Rash.
And I turn around just briefly, knowing I shouldn't turn around either. We are racing to his party that we're now late to. Nobody tells him because it's a surprise, surprise party. I turn around and I see his face smashing into the cement.
Smashing.
Oh, no. And then rolling into oncoming traffic.
Correct.
But he continued
it was like
the
five
roll.
Lanes, a one way. He was at like the third lane.
Landed on my feet after the roll. Jumped immediately back in my scooter.
Nope.
I will give Jonah a little credit. He did turn around to check and make sure I was alive. And then, boof, we're off again. They're leaving me again. Here I go. What the heck? I jump back on the scooter, trying to catch up because I'm obviously lost ground now. Next light's coming up. Oh, shoot. Where did the brake go?
Cut the brake lines.
Yeah, he sure did. It was broke
the handle off of the scooter. Yeah, it's dangling. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to die because I'm heading into traffic. Praise the Lord. The light turns red. I skim across. I realize I should not go any faster. I'm just coasting the rest of the way. They're all pulled over gently on the side of the road, whispering to each other like, I don't know what they're whispering to each other. And then I buzz past them because I'm not going to put my foot down and drag my leg and cause another wreck. I get to like pass the entrance, turn around, push, scoot it back. We head into my secret surprise birthday, and it was great.
You did go to the restroom.
Yeah,
I did.
You're like, I need to check.
Nobody
my face.
Told me. Yeah, I'm like, my face is probably bleeding. I have gravel in my hands.
Yep. So you're like, I think I'm gonna wash my hands. Okay, great. You go do that because we have to figure out how to get you up to this room without it being like out of the way. You already had people who are texting you to meet you other places. How are we going to convince you to get up to the room where the party is? But it all worked out because you just followed whatever we did after that.
It did. I had no idea. I was probably concussed, and I just walked in, and they all yelled, surprise! It was good. It was a good time.
Yeah. It was funny because you walked in, and you're like, oh, I don't think we're supposed to be here. This is some other private event. Nope, this is your event! Surprise!
That was a great moment, private for event. Sure. All right, so back to Origins.
On to Origins.
Yeah, Sarah and I had a great time. We got to work with 25th Century Games, demoing a bunch of different games in their booth and had a lot of fun. It was obviously small. It was the smallest Origins.
It's like one of the first Origins numbers.
I wonder, before we ever started going to Origins.
Oh, I know. Sure, but I wonder how far back it was that it was that size.
1990s.
Probably. The exhibit hall was a quarter of what it normally is. I mean, it was still, to give them credit, it was still plenty to look at. There were lots of good games there on display, but it was definitely small. You could get through the whole thing.
Were there companies that were at Origins that were not at Gen Con?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know which companies those were, and there were a lot of smaller companies represented, which I think was good, gave them an opportunity to show off stuff. I only felt like maybe there was one or two games that I was excited about that I didn't see at Gen Con.
Okay.
But overall,
I think sometimes we have a slightly skewed perspective because we do get a few things ahead of time. So there's not as many of those releases that I might not have already played. But
I agree.
That's so. I know people were not the same type of shopper as that they were at Gen Con typically.
Hmm. Yeah, it was a different experience. But one of the great things about Origins every year is that you actually have time to play some games.
That's true.
And we did get to do a decent amount of that. It was a lot of fun. We hung out afterwards. There was a great crew of people, faces that we didn't necessarily see at Gen Con that we got to sit down with and play games with. And had a ball. Played some really cool ones.
We did. There was plenty of space this year. There was no hard time finding a table.
We're gonna find tables.
There was plenty of space. Everybody had room to spread out, so that was good.
Pikachu's butt was there?
It was not. There was no Pikachu butt.
There was no Pikachu butt.
Maybe someone tweeted
about
it.
There were no sheep. But there was plenty of space.
There were tables.
There were tables, which was great. Even outside of the hall, once in a while, those tables that are out in the lobby area, once in a while you could find an open one there, which usually those are never available.
Never available, yeah.
So we did get to go to the Charity Board Gamer Meetup the first night, which was fantastic. Chris Goodlett had a wonderful turnout for that.
Good.
And got to see lots of faces that we didn't get to see at Gen Con.
So what was the name of that color game? Do you remember?
Colorful?
Oh, I think it was called Colorful.
Colorful. It was an interesting one. I don't even know. Daryl Andrews busted it out. I don't know where it was.
I don't think it's available yet.
I'm sure it's
in
prototype.
In the U.S., but I believe it's available overseas.
Oh, cool.
And it was an interesting game where you are you're given a category like food or something like that, and then you have these color cards in your hand, and you have to play a card down. Everybody does at the table, and they have the same
face
color
down
cards that they think fits that clue. So we gave the clue burnt cookie or something like
well,
that.
Well, the category was cookie.
The category was cookie,
and the colors left in our hand were like purple, pink, blue, green, and then we had a black and a silver.
That was our hand. We've all been trying to play the same cards the whole time, but you don't know what everybody's playing.
So we said people actually got what the clue was supposed
to be.
You
played black as burnt cookie.
So I gave the clue burnt as the clue, so everybody needed to play black. So everybody got it correct on our clue. But then there were some other clues where somebody had like author. And we had to
come up
with a clue that gave, like, tried to get everybody to pick that same color.
Did they say Stephen King?
They just said Stephen King.
For red?
Uh-huh. Red was
I can see that.
Which
for blood.
Half and half of us got it right.
Okay.
So
that's cool. So you're trying to get everyone to play the right color.
Yep.
That's kind of fun.
Right. And then there's a great reveal at the end because everybody's like, okay, the first clue was, and the color was obviously, and then everybody flips their cards over and four people, you know, put a different color and you're like, no. So you're trying to see how many you can get right.
Cool.
And so that was a fun one. That was a good one that we played that night. We also got to play the new Picture Perfect game.
From Arcane Wonders.
Yeah. That was it. It looks very cool on the table. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
So there are, I want to say 15 characters that you have that are all standing around a table that you're going to take a photograph with your phone at the end of the game.
So they're actual like cardboard cutout pieces that fit in a room. It looks like a kid's little
diorama
playset area. Yeah,
it's a diorama.
Yep.
And in every character has some clues stuck in about what they would like to see happen for where their character is placed. And some of them are a section of
the room,
the back, or a row.
Around the table.
Some of them are they want to be next to a specific character.
Oh,
some
wow.
of them don't want to be next
and
to
a... And that's how you're scoring points.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
that's cool.
Some of them are like, this character cannot be seen. So you have to like stick them behind it or position the way that you take
the picture,
photograph.
The tall person in front of them so that they're in the background.
That's cool.
So then there...
How many envelopes are there?
There's one envelope for every character that's in the picture,
so
including including the plant. There's a plant that ends up in there as one of the family members.
Awesome.
And the family dog.
Mm-hmm,
and then... Each one has three characteristics. So they're, depending on your player count will be how many that you will get to see on when you reveal. You look at everything secretly and make some choices about where things are going.
Mm-hmm.
And then each round there will be something that a card that's revealed, an event. So it might be pass two cards to your – or two envelopes to your right or reveal some that are in the center that everybody gets to look at or trade with somebody. And so you can withhold information from other players. And then at the end, once you've done all those trades and tried to remember what's in those envelopes, then you will score. And if you get nothing right on a player, it's negative points. And then it's like some points and a lot of points if you can get all three characters. Sometimes there will be contradicting things.
Right. Yeah, you can't score.
So you can't score everything. So
I look forward to playing this.
Yeah, it'll be the con special they had was they had
acrylic
standees
yeah,
so that you can
really cool.
see through them to the people behind.
Do they remind
the
you of The Captain is Dead?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like those. They're cool. printed colored in colored ink on acrylic standees.
That's cool.
Which makes it tougher to hide behind that plant.
It does make it real hard to hide behind things.
But more interesting for sure. That was a lot of fun. We also played this weird, I don't even know who publishes it, but a hamster wheel game is the best way to describe that.
Is the name of it. It's not available in the U.S. and it is a...
Sounds like a hobby game.
It is not. I want to... Schmidt?
Schmidt?
It's a German publisher. I have to look it up real quick.
Regardless, it's a giant. And when I say giant, I mean like foot and a half tall.
Oh, I've seen pictures
plastic
of
plastic.
No, it's wooden.
Ring.
Everything's wooden. And there are little spokes inside of it that are wooden. And everybody at the table gets a set of five or six
What's the name
different
of the...
hamster roll. R-O-U-L-L-E?
Role.
it's roll. And on your turn, you have to place a piece that does not match any others in that section or place it in a farther along section. So it's going to make the wheel actually roll on the table. And if any pieces fall off after your placement, then you have to take them. And you're trying to be the first to get rid of all your pieces.
Cool.
So there are some that are bigger and heavier than others. So it becomes real tricky. When do I place those so I'm not having to take pieces or make the thing? There is a starting piece that's really big and heavy.
I found it.
And
it's been out since 2000.
It's an older game, and you can't get it in the US.
It's very hard to find on BGG because it's hamster roll, all one word, with an E on the end.
Yes.
Rolly. It looks great on the table.
It's so cool.
Watching people play it was fascinating.
Awesome.
When the piece does finally fall off and it like rolls sideways and everybody's, you know, it was exciting. It was a very neat game that I'd never seen before. One final game that I wanted to talk about that I thought was interesting, because it totally caught me off guard, is a game, I think it's called Good Puppers?
Good Puppies.
Pretty sure it's Puppers. It's a card game that looks like a cutesy little... goofy puppy dog game, but the way it was described to me sold me instantly. The people I was playing with said this is like Wingspan Express, and it's just straightforward. Play a card from your hand each round, and I actually want to play it with both of you guys because I think you would very much enjoy it, Kevin and Melissa. It's an engine building type of game where you're stacking the cards and you're using whatever the most recent action is on the card, but you're using it the number of times that you've played that breed of puppy throughout the course of the game. Okay. And there's some wild puppies, which are actually like cats dressed up as puppies, which are funny. And there's a bunch of different breeds, so it's like very cute, but it was surprisingly crunchy for being just a deck of cards in a tiny little box. We played it two times in a row. The first time we were playing it with Kay. I don't know what her last name is. Yeah, super fun. She's super fun to play with. Played it the first time, and she killed us because she played it before. And we were all like, oh, okay, wait a minute. We got it now. We figured it out. Let's try this one more time. Second time through, I still didn't win, but played much better. And I think it's the type of game that you would get like significantly better each time you play it. And just had
we know Kay. Kay's worked with Berkey.
Yeah,
yes,
cool.
I just didn't know what her last name was. She was actually, I'll give her a shout out here too. She explained the rules to us with her mask on, and I had to look like three times because I was like, does she have a mask on? It is so, she's like so perfectly illiterate, not illiterate, articulate, I'm illiterate, that I was like, how is she speaking this clearly with a mask on? No one else at this table is capable of speaking as clearly as she is. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
She explained the rules great. We played a couple other games as well. Had a blast. We'll get that one to the table soon because it was a surprise. I think it's like a hit sleeper type of thing. We're going to have to try it out.
Cool. And you guys helped 25th Century?
Yep. And Gold Seal demo several different games. They had the last few copies in the U.S. of On the Rocks. So we Those all sold out. So there are none left. So unless your favorite local game store has one available, that's it. The warehouse is empty.
So, on the wait list till the reprint. Yeah. We got to play the new Tutankhamun from Reiner Knizia. It's the one that 20th Century has rewrapped and is reselling. We also got to play
Lost Kingdoms from Gold Seal. And that's a new tile manipulation area control game.
Yeah, it's a tile placement area control, but you can shift the Teutonic plates. I'm not saying any words tonight. That concussion is still coming back. Yes. You can shift the tiles in the game, which is interesting, and create some really cool effects when you do it just right. We played
the new Holly Jolly game, which is a real fun little Christmas stocking stuffer game that
I think that one's Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback.
It is, ooh. Yes. So that was a great little set collection game that's got a pretty low barrier and easy rule, so it'd be great for families this holiday season.
And it looks like a Christmas tree on the table, which is great. But overall, we had a fantastic time. One of my favorite things was that as we were talking to everybody about the event and we were having fun together playing games, I would say 80% of the people we talked to knew about Tantrum Con, were excited about coming to Tantrum Con.
Nice.
And hopefully it'll actually happen. We got to play with a lot of folks. They were all very excited to hang out with us. If you said hi to us while we were there, we super appreciate that. It was a blast and an encouragement to just be able to meet lots of new friends and say hi. And we definitely felt loved by all the guests and Tantrum House fans who came and said hey to us.
And one final question, how's the North Market?
Tasty as usual and way shorter lines, which was great.
It was way shorter. It was great. We in and out, but fantastic.
And I will say I was jealous because I saw on the credit card statement or the bank statement, someone went to the Melt.
We did. It was delicious. This is actually the first time I didn't get a grilled cheese. We got like macaroni and cheese. Not a mistake. It was delicious.
Macaroni and cheese.
Wow.
Great. That sounds good.
Cool.
Now that you're hungry.
Nope. Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we're going to be talking about five games coming to Kickstarter and other crowdfunding platforms. We're going to jump it off with Jonah.
Yeah, so on October 12th, coming to Kickstarter is the game Block. B-L-O-K-K. This is a self-published game, and how do I describe this game? It's a party-style game, kind of abstract strategy, but it's got these, think of Tetris pieces, but 3D. 3D Tetris pieces. And what you're doing is you've got this rotating platform that's in the middle of your table, and it holds either 5x5, or there's like an inset where it can hold 4x4. And you've got these 3D Tetris pieces, and you're trying to stack them in a 5x5x5x5. Is that right? To make a cube? 5x5x5x5. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
You're making a cube.
Three fives. 5x5x5 cube or 4x4x4 cube, depending on which stencil you use. And you're trying to set all these Tetris pieces in order to make a cube. So it's got three different game modes. You can play cooperatively, you can play head-to-head, or you can play like one person at a time. And then it's also got three different ways to play the game. You can play by rolling a die, and you'll roll a certain color, and you have to use a block of that color. You can play by selecting a card, which has the exact die you have to use, and they're like in crazy shapes. And then you can play by just selecting one. But it's really fun and fast. It plays maybe 20 to 30 minutes. With the different game modes, it makes it kind of interesting. It also has these challenges that come in the rulebook that you can, if you beat a challenge, it actually unlocks these special blocks that are these gold blocks that are super big and super crazy that then you start your next game with one of these gold blocks, which makes it even more challenging to make your cube. So it calls you architects when you play the game. And I will definitely tell you, as someone who's not great at Tetris, playing with my wife, someone who is great at Tetris, I was making the wrong decisions and where these blocks should go.
I saw this game and it looked really interesting, especially the three-dimensionality of it.
Yep.
Makes it Tetris like cubed.
Yeah, it is. And so one of my favorite parts about this game, because I've had a chance to play it, is the mount where you're building this cube rotates 360 degrees. So it makes it so easy to like place your block and rotate or rotate to see if your block's going to be there. And all basically all you're doing is trying to make the cube. Game ends when you think you've got close to the perfect cube as you can, and then you're just going to lose points for all your imperfections. So it's nice and simple, nice and easy to play. It's headed to Kickstarter on October 12th. Again, that's Block, B-L-O-K-K, self-published. And if you're interested in that, you should totally check it out. Kevin, what game are you looking at?
Well, Restoration Games is bringing Thunder Road Vendetta, which is a re-implementation of Thunder Road. Restoration Games is known for restoring older games. Melissa and I have played Thunder Road a long time ago, years ago. And basically, it's a dice-rolling game, and cars are flying up this sort of alley, and the board's sort of modular. And as you're moving up the road, like a dirt road sort of, the board's the bottom of the... The bottom board is moving off, and if your car is on that bottom board, you're basically, you know, lost your car, and that board is then moving into the front of the sections of boards, so that the board state's always moving forward. And you're rolling dice, moving your car up, trying to attack other players and things like that. This is Thunder Road Vendetta. It's going to be very similar in the gameplay, but they do have some new additions with some new hazard tokens, like oil slicks and things like that. And your damage that you're taking isn't just like one and done, like just losing your car, but you'll be drawing damage tokens that have different effects on them. So check out Thunder Road Vendetta from Restoration Games coming this October. Melissa.
On October 12th, North Star Games is bringing Paint the Roses. This is a cooperative deduction game set in the world of Alice in Wonderland. Basically, think of that scene with the Queen of Hearts and they're painting the roses red, and the queen is going to cut off their heads, off with their heads, because they've done it incorrectly. Well, in this game, you have order cards from the queen, and each player has one, and they keep it secret from the other players, and it'll say something like, the queen wants purple roses next to red roses, or the queen wants diamond hedges next to spade hedges, or it could even be that she wants yellow roses by heart hedges. So there's all these different options depending on if you take an easy card, a medium card, or a hard card. And on your turn, you're going to take one of the tiles available to you. There's usually about four or five to choose from, and you're going to put it onto the board, and the tile has a color and a shape of hedge. And then based on what you've placed it next to, you put your little clue cubes onto the tile to say, hey, this tile matches two things that the queen wants me to have, or it matches one thing, or it matches nothing. And everyone else looks at their cards and then also puts their cubes down. So you're getting some information to deduce what the other player has for their cards. And then you have to make a guess every turn. If you guess someone's card correctly, your little gardeners get to move up on the track. Yay! And then the queen, she also moves. Usually she starts the game with just moving one step. But if you guess incorrectly, the queen is going to double her movement. And as you keep going in the game, the queen gets more speed. So we were playing one game. It was near the end. The queen is moving four or five spaces each round. If you get it wrong at that point, she's going to double that to 8 or 10 spaces. And if she ever catches your piece, then the game is over. And it's cooperative, so everyone's playing as the same little gardener people going around. Kevin and I have played this quite a few times.
Yep.
We actually described it and played a round or two on our Saturday morning board game show for the beginning of October. You can watch that and see how it's played. But
I was going to say, we played this multiple times and only won a couple.
Right. It's difficult. We have the deluxe version. I'm not sure if the Kickstarter is only for the deluxe version or if there'll be multiple versions, but the pieces are very nice. The board is inset, double layered. There's also modules that come with it that you can add in. So the tea party.
Harder.
Yeah. We haven't actually tried those because Like Kevin said, we played it quite a few times and only won once so far because you need to get a certain amount of movement to stay ahead of the queen. And so you really can't make mistakes, but sometimes the tiles you need don't come out, so you have to guess with less information than you would like. But that is Paint the Roses from North Star Games, cooperative deduction game. If you like things like Search for Planet X or Cryptid, it's along those lines of using logic to deduce what's going on in the game. Ryan.
Coming October 12th from Oni Games is Birdwatcher. This is a game where you are trying to collect cards of different bird types. And there is a there's several parts of the game. There's like a draw area, and then you can take an action to drive those birds out of that, I guess it's called the jungle, into the clearing where they go onto different piles. And then you can also take another action to collect birds and put them in front of you. And then you can take an action to discard one from in front of you to take another one from in front of you and put it in your journal. And your goal is to have like-typed birds all next to each other because their points increase exponentially up to a certain point. And then you also get points for having multiple types of birds. And then there are also special journal cards that when you play them, they give you force multipliers where you can either take an extra action or get points for what you've already laid down or for what you're about to lay down. So it can be pretty fast-paced. We have a video about this that you can check out on our channel. It is Birdwatcher from Oni Games. Check it out. Jonah, you have another game?
I do have another game. Coming October 12th from Lord Raccoon Games is Taverns and Dragons. This game is for 2 to 5 players. Plays in about an hour. It says 40 to 60 minutes on the side of the box, but it's about an hour. And this game is a kind of worker placement and dice placement mechanics, actually. In this game, it's what you're doing is you're trying to fulfill these recipes. And at the same time, you've got heroes that you are trying to manage because they can go to out into the forest or jungle and they can come back and earn you points. And then, of course, you've got dragons to manage as well. So basically, at the beginning of each round, you're going to roll your die and then or your dice. And then each player plays one die. You either activate one of your workers that'll collect golden energy, or you use the die to go on dragon hunts, which are risky, but you can get a lot of bonus actions by doing that. You can also use your die to attract heroes to your tavern, and that'll help you slow down your opponents from doing their powerful combos. And basically, you're trying to do all this while you fulfill your recipes, because you're getting points for recipes cooked. And then heroes can come back from their hunts. If they go on the dragon hunts, they can earn you points. And basically, you're playing 7 rounds, and the player with the most points at the end of the round is going to be the winner. So that is... it's got, like I said, it's got this dice rolling mechanic. It's actually very pretty of a game. We are going to have a video of it in real time right now. It's not October 12th yet, and so I actually have not played the game yet, but I'm going to play it. It's actually at my house. I have opened the box. It's gorgeous on the inside. The board is really pretty. The tokens and tiles look like you expect them to look in Taverns vs. Dragons. There's like these beautifully drawn dragons on them, and they're kind of... the tokens are kind of winged, or it looks really good. Anyway, and so I'm excited to play it. I just have not played it yet. But I do know that it's a dice rolling, a pick up and deliver, push your luck, recipe fulfillment game. It's coming to Kickstarter on October 12th. So if it's your type of game, first, you should go check out our video that's going to be available by the time you're listening to this. And second, if it's your type of game, you should back it.
Awesome. Well, those are some awesome Kickstarters coming soon and other crowdfunding platforms, but we're going to jump in to a house guest segment with an interview with Mondo Davis. Let's all say hey.
Hey.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Mondo, you were at the best board game convention of 2020.
Absolutely.
The only one.
Right.
back before COVID hit in March.
And we're glad to glad you were a part of TantrumCon back then, and glad to have you on the show. Tell us what you've been up to in the meantime.
Yeah, of course. As you said, I'm a game designer, so I've been designing, doing a lot of that. I currently have 5 games that are under contract, most of which will hopefully be coming out by the end of 2022.
That's awesome.
I'm excited about it. It's been a fun ride. I actually just got back from Origins yesterday and was able to demo a couple of them with some Tantrum House people. Will and Sarah were there.
Will and Sarah were the representative Tantrum House at Origins.
Yeah.
They actually are on their way back right now. We have commandeered their home. We are actually all here waiting for them to arrive. They are about 2 hours out. So
We
are recording this the Monday night after Origins. So Origins was good for you?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was weird, definitely. Smaller than it's ever been. Since I've been going, at least. And but it was great to like be back in a con setting and to be around friends of mine, people, and making new friends, connecting with people that I've only connected with online, just being in the presence of the board game community is just always a pleasure. So I had a great time in spite of it being pretty different this year. But
yeah, Melissa and I really love Origins, and we were sad we couldn't go this year, but glad Will and Sarah could go, and glad you were there. So I hear out of these 5 games that are coming to the market soon, we could talk about a couple of them. And were you able to show one of these off to Will and Sarah?
Yeah, actually, I think that they've played both of them. They played Mansplaining at Origins, which is a fun little party game that I designed with a co-designed with Fertessa Elise, who is a designer from Atlanta.
Fertessa's also been at TantrumCon.
Yeah. We did some playtesting while we were there, and actually this game kind of developed after we got to know each other there, so we can give TantrumCon some credit for that. Yeah.
We'll take it. So tell us a little bit about Mansplaining. Give us an overview of what Mansplaining is.
Yeah, of course. So it's a party game. Right. Not the phenomenon. So it's a party game. I like to describe it as reverse taboo, so players are like taking turns mansplaining a topic, and that's usually something like how to mow the lawn or how to do dishes or how to pay your taxes or something like that. And then they're also given 4 cards that have a word on each. So there's 4 words that are usually kind of obscure words that are hopefully most likely unrelated to the topic that they're explaining. But their goal is to try and sneak those words into their mansplanation without everybody that's listening being able to identify them. So like you get points for using the detail words is what they're called. And then players get points for guessing what they were and that sort of thing. So it has a fun little thematic feel because, you're like talking about mowing the lawn, but trying to sneak in the word like circumference. So you end up having to like kind of go on tangents and talk about and, just like make sort of random points that have nothing to do with what you're, it feels like you're mansplaining. And that's why we've gotten such good feedback on it as we've gone, but.
Was the name of the game always Mansplaining, or was it something else before you got there?
No, it was. So I actually had the idea to make a game about mansplaining and immediately knew that as a man, I didn't want to tell that story myself, So reached out to Fertessa because she's my favorite female designer. And we just kind of started riffing from there. But that was sort of the idea. It was like, let's make a game about mansplaining. And that was always what it was. I just recently went back through our email thread because it was all designed during COVID, online, primarily through email. And then we did all our play testing on Tabletop Simulator. But it's just funny to see kind of where it started and where it ended up because our first ideas that we were throwing around just are completely different than what we ended up signing. So it's fun to think back on that.
Cool. And has the publisher been announced? Who's publishing it?
Yep. So this will be coming out from Breaking Games. The plan is early 2022. So they're currently working through, artwork and that sort of thing, but also just sort of the promotional marketing kind of plan and that sort of thing. So hopefully that's all going to stay on schedule, but definitely next year it'll be coming out.
Tell us about the pitching. You and Fertessa taking it to different publishers, or was Breaking Games one of the first ones? Tell us a little bit of the story behind that.
Yeah, so we actually were part of a Shark Tank event at a NunPub online conference. So if I assume you're familiar with UnPub, but if not, it's, you know, an organization for, well, in case your listeners aren't.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's a group of designers that, you know, just kind of support each other, and they host different events throughout the year. Like they had a space at Origins where they ran play tests and had like game jam contests and speed pitching events and stuff like that. So we were part of a Shark Tank event where there were a few industry professionals that sat there and listened to our pitch. And then the idea was that they were supposed to just pick it apart and find all the holes in it, just like the show Shark Tank.
Sure.
But the feedback was just like overwhelmingly positive. It was like, okay, make this game. I want to play it. So we knew we had something when that happened. And from there, actually from that event, we got connected with Sherry at Breaking Games and pitched it to her, and she signed it within a month. So it was all very quick. It all happened very quickly.
A lot of party games, in my estimation, there is a way to usually score or win, but usually for party games, for me, I enjoy just the playing, the activity of them. Is this a game where it has a scoring mechanism, or is it just, you know, just have fun with it? Or tell me a little bit about how you win.
Yeah. So you, like I said, you score points for guessing correctly, and you also get points if you're the mansplainer, if other players guess your topic correctly, and if you use the detail words. So there's kind of a few different ways to score points, but everybody gets the same amount of turns mansplaining, and then the points are all calculated at the end.
So you can play this without scoring if you really want to. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. And what's the it sounds like this is a very large player count. If you want it to be, is that true?
Yeah. There's, I mean, there really is no minimum. It's just a matter of how much time you want to spend playing, you know, because I think we had a group of, I think it was 7 or 8 at Origins, but we have play tested with more than that. And I've played personally with more people than that. So there's, it's a pretty high maximum player count, which is fun.
Cool. Yeah. Well, before we don't have that much more time, but sure. I do want to hit that other game that you said you also are able to talk about. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so it's a game called Color Field, which is signed by 25th Century Games. I believe, y'all know Chad.
Chad's one of our we love Chad. Yep.
Yeah. So it's an abstract tile laying game where you have a painting that you're trying to complete by laying tiles that have different like swaths of color on them, trying to match colors by drafting tiles and replacing tiles that are already on your board. And then scoring points for matching colors. So you're actually constructing a painting as you go, and then trying to make it as kind of uniform as you can with the colors that are on there. So
I've actually played a prototype of this probably. Yes. Oh, I don't know when it was.
Actually, it was probably at Tantrum Con. We had it out there. I was demoing it then too.
Yes, I was going to say I felt like it was at Tantrum Con, but it was back a year and a half ago. So
yeah,
he was showing me that and some other game designs he was working on with some people. I mean, as a publisher. So that's cool. I didn't know that you were associated with it. I remember enjoying the concept of Color Field. I'm assuming that's like a 1-to-4 player game.
2-to-4, yes. And what's great about it, so my wife is an artist. She's very talented and made the art for the prototype that I pitched. And Chad ended up signing that art. So her original artwork is going to be on the final version when it comes out next year. So we're pretty excited about that as well.
That is cool to hear. And that's an early 2022 release as well?
Yeah, expecting that to hit Kickstarter around that time, yeah.
Okay, Kickstarter first and then go from there. Awesome. Very cool. Look forward to that. And can you give us any like hints about the other ones, or are we keeping our mouths closed on those?
I'm free to talk about them. They're just, you know, earlier on in the process, so they'll probably change a lot by the time they are put out there. But I signed a game with Gold Seal Games called Into the Woods. It's just a very simple set collection card laying kind of game where you are walking through the woods, picking up sticks and rocks and trying to create a collection of the cool stuff that you find in the woods.
Have you seen the musical Into the Woods?
I haven't. There's a book as well that I haven't read. There's a few Into the Woods media that like I need to go out and see or read or whatever.
It's very fairy tale oriented. It was originally a musical and then they made it into sort of like a live action musical. I think probably Disney did it. It's got pretty big names in it, but cool. That sounds like a fun one. What else?
Weird Giraffe signed a game of mine called Sorrento, which is like a drafting game where you're drafting these little wooden houses that are like, you know, meeple-sized houses, and then stacking them in three different pyramid formations in front of you. And each of your pyramids scores according to a different set of parameters. So like you're trying to collect pairs of the same color, or you're trying to collect, rows that are the same color, rows that are different colors or something like that. So everybody has three different scoring mechanics, but they're all drafting houses and building this pyramid. So the idea is like you're trying to build houses into the hills of Sorrento in Italy. If you've seen pictures of like the Amalfi Coast or Cinque Terre over there.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's a fun little drafter, but I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it.
I think Will and Sarah were talking to Weird Giraffe and seeing if they could come to Tantrum Con 2022.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah.
Maybe they'll be one of the exhibitors. That'd be cool. Maybe we can show off a prototype.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun. Yeah, they're cool. Great. They're great. And then the fifth game is I've signed it as a development project. So it's called Small Town, it's a cooperative game where players are trying to work together to save a small rural town from dying out from depopulation.
I think I've seen this one.
So I was playtesting a version of it back in the days of Tantrum Con 2020. So it's possible. Oh, okay. Actually, I'm sorry. I think I actually did it on your there was a pitch-a-thon, right?
Yeah, the pitch-a-thon that Will does. Will's about that pitch-a-thon. Cool.
Yeah, I showed it on the pitch-a-thon. That's right. That's what that
Very
was.
Very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, developing that for the Tessa Collective is the publisher, but yeah.
Okay, Tessa. I've not heard of them. What else have they done?
So they're actually a pretty cool company. They have games that are mostly themed after social issues. It's very purpose driven. The games that they put out there, and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they are worth checking out. They've got some pretty cool ideas in the games that they make. So,
well, good. Well, yeah. Mondo, it's been great having you on the show, and we'll definitely look forward to seeing these games come to the market sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Of course.
And any last words before we say goodbye?
No, I mean, I really appreciate you having me on. If anybody wants to find out more, mondodavis.com. I'm also on TikTok at Games by Mondo. So I post updates to stuff there in those places. And yeah, hopefully looking forward to seeing you guys in February.
Wonderful. We'd love to see you at Tantrum Con. And for their fans listening as well, don't forget Tantrum Con tickets are on sale, tantrumcon.com. Thanks, Mondo.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, it was great having Mondo on the show. Like we said, we are really looking forward to him coming to Tantrum Con this February 2022. He was at our last Tantrum Con a couple years ago with Fortessa, and looks like he's got some cool stuff coming out. And Tantrum Con, check out tantrumcon.com to learn more about how you can come to Tantrum Con in February 2022, tantrumcon.com. And those badges are already on sale, and the convention has actually moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's actually right near the airport. The shuttles from the airport are actually free from the shuttle, from the airport, shuttling all the way to the convention center and the hotel, and it's just a quick little ride. So we'd love for you to join us at Tantrum Con.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So,
I'm excited about it.
I'm excited about it too. And I think Jonah is also excited about what he's going to be doing next week with Will and Sarah and his wife, Chantel.
Yeah, we are headed to Essen, Germany for the Essen Spiel board game convention. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited to go. had a good time at Gen Con, which if you listen to our podcast, you know that was really my first board game convention. I did go to Tantrum Con obviously I was a part of Tantrum Con Digital, and the year before that, Tantrum Con in Spartanburg, but I really only was there for about a day or so, so didn't get the full experience. So Gen Con was my first one, had a great time, excited to go overseas, and it's going to be fun. I'm not excited for all of the vaccine requirements that I'm going through, trying to make sure that we can still get there, because I got an email from the airline today that was like, make sure you've done these 100 things so you can get into France, because we're actually flying into France first and taking the train is a little cheaper.
I heard you're going to be celebrating an anniversary.
We are celebrating an anniversary. So Chantel, if you're listening to this, I won't tell her what we're doing, but we are. It's going to be wedding anniversary number 5.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks. So the traditional gift for that is wood. Did anyone have any ideas?
Are you going to trade some sheep?
Ooh.
That's good. We could play Catan right underneath the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, man.
That's romantic.
That is romantic.
Have you seen those rings that are like really nice custom carved wood?
I have seen like a wooden ring before.
Yeah.
I don't think Chantel would wear it. She rarely wears her rings because of taking care of the kids all day.
Right.
And the ring that she does have that I bought her when we got engaged and married is pretty nice. I doubt she would want a wooden one.
Don't want to trade the diamond for a wooden ring.
Yeah, I don't think she'd want to.
Yeah, I don't know. If something comes to us, we'll definitely let you know, but that's a hard one.
Yeah, but we're excited to be there. So if you're going to be there, make sure you come say hi. I think we are going to be hanging out and volunteering again with the Genius Games booth. So that's where we'll be. I do definitely know the booth number in the hall, but I definitely can't remember to tell you guys right now. But we're going to be walking around and having a good time and taking pictures. So if you see us there, make sure you come say hi. We're happy to see you. But yeah, that's going to be next week. So we're super excited. We actually recently put out, Kevin and Melissa put out a Essen Top 10 video. Top 10 most anticipated games coming out at Essen.
Yeah, definitely take a look at that. We won't like go through all of them on the podcast. Do you have one or two, Kevin, that you wanted to mention?
Sure. I mean, the one that I actually am really excited about out of all 10 is the expansion to Lost Ruins of Arnok. I think, Jonah, you played Lost Ruins.
I have.
You played Lost Ruins.
I played it incorrectly.
I know. I heard what John Edwards said.
I had a great time.
You guys were using those workers like there was no tomorrow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
You're like, let's move that worker over here. Let's move that worker.
It was a really fun round.
That was a long game, I bet you.
I feel like it was just as long as any other game.
Okay.
I had a lot of fun playing. I had so much fun playing the wrong way that I have yet to play the right way. And I'm thinking to myself, will the right way be more fun?
Well,
had a great time.
The strategy will be very different.
Right.
That's true.
I really have to start over.
The expansion is called Expedition Leaders. It is bringing asymmetric to your player powers as you go out and moving around the island, pushing you in certain directions, and also different research tracks and artifact cards and items. So looking forward to the expansion to Lost Ruins of Arnok from our friends over at CGE. Melissa, you got one you want to share?
Well, I hate ordering games and picking a favorite.
Do Luna Capital.
But yeah.
What's the first one that comes to mind?
So Devir Games is publishing Luna Capital. And we got a quick peek of it at Gen Con. I haven't actually played it yet, but it is a card drafting, tile placement, city building game that has lots of different scoring goals, and those are all things that I really enjoy in games. So I'm looking forward to playing Luna Capital and making those tough decisions of which cards to draft and what to put into my capital city on the moon, I guess it is. So that's Luna Capital from Devir.
A couple games that some of us have actually played, and they will be released at Essen, is Riverside from Chili Fox Games. Did Ryan play that one? Maybe just Katie played that one. Anyway, it's a roll and write game where you are the boat is going around this modular board, and you're basically sightseeing different animals and things around the board, and you're trying to collect points. There's some comboing going on, but we've been able to play that. And the other game that's being released at Essen is Cascadia, and that is
from AEG.
Yeah, AEG and Flat Out Games, and I think a lot of us have played that. So we really, I think we've all loved playing Cascadia, so definitely check out that tile laying plus a little bit extra, I don't know, what would you call like a tile laying on top of tile laying game, sort of?
Well, you're laying the terrain tiles, and then you're putting animal tokens on top of them. So you're trying to get the right animals and the right terrain to score points based on the scoring cards you have out that game.
Cool. Well, I think everyone is really excited about our end of show game that we want to play.
I'm so excited. Oh,
whoa.
Ooh, I like that.
That was very cool.
I like what we're doing here. Okay, so earlier today we played a game. It's actually from, you'll have to forgive me, I'm forgetting the name. I think it's Cut Games. They've got two games that are headed to straight to retail, actually. They might actually be out at the moment. Yeah, it's Cut Game. And we played one of them. We talked about one of them earlier. It was called Keep It 100. But we played another one that's called TBH.
Which stands for?
To be honest.
To
be honest. And how you play this game is basically like this. You've got a board in front of you with four slots on it, basically. Four corners of the board. And you have cards in front of you that are yes or no. Like personal yes or no cards, and you have also some yes or no cards that you'll use to guess on other people. But what you do is you select two of these like dilemma cards, pick which one you want, read it aloud to everyone, and then you personally vote, would I say yes to this dilemma or no, and then the other players try to match you. And so we played a round of this game.
Now the other players can ask you questions about this dilemma. So there's a little bit of kind of like a storytelling-ish element to it. So depending on your answers, that may sway people towards the yes or towards the no. Mm-hmm.
And it's point-based. You get points if you guess correctly and you win the game. But we played one round of it earlier, and I was just having the best time reading
like
these
near
dilemmas.
Tears.
Yes.
I'll be honest. The gameplay, I don't know that I was too fond of, but reading the questions was fun.
Yeah,
so
I enjoyed
more of the activity of thinking about these questions.
Which is a good party game. You're enjoying the activity. So we're going to...
I agree with Kevin, but I did, of the two games that we played, both by Cut, I enjoyed Keep It 100.
Gameplay-wise?
Yeah, I thought that was much better than TBH, but TBH cards were killing me.
He was being killed. All right, Jonah.
So we took a couple out of the game.
Yep, we got some ready for you.
Just to read them aloud. So again, what you've got to do is decide yes or no. Would you do this dilemma? Would you do it or no, would you not? So I have one that I'm ready to share. I want to ask Ryan because it's funny for me to ask Ryan. Plus, he doesn't have any cards in front of him right now, so I'm going to ask him this one. All right, Ryan. A doctor offers to give you x-ray vision that you can mostly control, but you will forever see through your own eyelids.
Oh.
Worth it.
It depends on whether or not it gives other people cancer. So if it's going to endanger other people, I'd say no.
Oh, man.
But I could fall asleep staring through my eyelids, sure.
I could not. There's no way.
No way.
No way. I've got to be able to close my
eyes. Okay, this is actually great because this goes along with sleep. We've invented a new mattress that truly guarantees a solid full night's sleep. You'll sleep so well that at least one spider per year will make a web in your mouth.
Oh.
Is the solid snooze worth it?
No.
That was a good one.
Isn't that good?
How often was the spider getting
Once a
mouth?
Year. Just once a year.
Nope. Nope.
How big is the spider?
Nope.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
If it's like a little spider.
I'm okay with
web.
That.
A web. Not just like, they say you swallow so many spiders a year. I forget what that is. Or in a lifetime.
That's what I'm saying. The spiders are already there and I'm not sleeping well.
Yeah, but they just go down. No, it makes a web. No.
If you know that's happening, do you just wake up and immediately go to the sink?
If you could
and
see through your eyelids,
out?
You would know it was happening.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it might be worth it because what I understand, insomnia is one of the leading causes for health issues in America.
You guys are so weird. No.
I would just wake up every morning. As soon as my eyes open a little bit, I just sprint to the bathroom. 363 times, I'll be fine. But there's that one time where I got to get that spider out.
Well, I guess like if the spider comes, you know, in February, you're like, hey, I'm good for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
But it's still a no for me.
And the arachnophobes listening are dying right now.
All right, Melissa, do you have one?
All right. If you lick your house clean, one time, you never have to clean again.
What?
You licking?
Oh, wow.
Never have to clean the house again, or never have to clean anything?
The house. Never have to clean the house again.
I know.
I might do that.
No.
I might.
No.
No. Dan's like, can I have my kids lick it clean?
It's protein and bacteria. It makes your immune system stronger.
I think I could do it. When I was in fifth grade, I had to make my own commercial, and I made a commercial for Tasty Clean. It was a spray-on thing that your kids lick stuff clean. You spray it on your windshield, get all those bugs off.
So you've been preparing for this.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
All right. I pass it on that one. I was saying yes to a lot of these earlier, but I can't
Okay,
do that
Dan.
One. I'm not licking the house.
Turns out there was a mix-up at the hospital the week you were born.
Oh, no.
And there's a chance you were switched at birth. They can do a DNA test if you want. It's no trouble. Do you want to know if you were switched?
Oh, that's a tough one.
It's heavy.
I think I would just live in bliss. If I'm the age I am now and I'm happy about it, I'll go with that. Why disrupt life?
What if it was like,
oh, okay,
the person you were switched with was obviously closer looking to your parents? Like,
so here's a part of the game that we haven't really brought out, but the questions aspect. So I could ask Ryan in this case, how wealthy is my other family, my real family? That might play into it.
Yeah.
So
they're really wealthy.
Really wealthy. So
it's Bill Gates.
Okay. Yeah, I'm switching. They gotta test me. Okay, I've got one. Oh, go ahead, Dan. I'm gonna skip you.
All right. So your best friend's grandmother dies. At the funeral, your friend is too sad to sing the heartfelt rewrite of Call Me Maybe that they wrote for their Gam Gam. They ask you to do it. Do you pick up the mic? Do you guys remember Call Me Maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Like back with the Olympics and all that?
One of my best friend's favorite songs.
Oh my goodness.
He still brings it up.
So heartfelt, Call Me Maybe.
Heartfelt rendition for Gam Gam.
I just want to hear that heartfelt rendition.
That is so funny. I would be peer pressured enough. Well, it's probably not even peer pressure. I would be pressured enough that it was a funeral that I'm singing.
Do you sing? Like, do you feel comfortable singing anyway?
I feel okay singing.
Okay.
I mean, at a funeral, do I feel comfortable singing? No. Do I feel comfortable singing Call Me Maybe in front of people? No. But
in
I
your
think
shower?
I would have to because it was a funeral and they asked me.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be crazy. Okay. Are you ready? Melissa.
Uh-oh.
Would you listen to the worst song you've ever heard looped nonstop for an entire 48 hours for
$320. $320?
Yes.
Not worth it.
Wait, how long?
For 48 hours?
No, I mean, maybe like $32,000,
no,
or something.
I
might take $3,200.
I do balloon twisting, and I could make that in an hour doing balloon twisting.
When I saw the dollar amount, I thought the same thing. I thought 300? No. 3,000? Yeah. Yeah, I'm letting it play. I'm letting it play for sure.
I'm with you.
If it wasn't super loud, I think I could tune it out. I could just forget about it. I watch enough of the same show just over and over with my toddlers that I can just ignore it now.
It is true.
We've been through some Disney shows at least 20 times.
That is true.
Dino how loud? Ranch, I'm done with.
Loud is the song?
Dan, you got one?
I don't even realize she's doing it anymore.
Yeah, I've got one. Here, Kevin, I'll toss this to you.
Okay.
You can hear your neighbors arguing, and one yells, "You are such a Kevin." It is clearly
it really
an insult.
Says Kevin?
Well, no, it says insert your name here.
Okay.
It's clearly an insult. The next weekend, they invite you to a barbecue at their place. Do you go?
Oh, yeah. Definitely going.
So follow up, do you bring that up?
No.
I don't know. I think Kevin will kind of like go and then be like super awkward, you know, on purpose.
He'd probably shred his stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw some money around.
Woo, it's funny.
The Olympic Committee wants a new mascot called the Schlub. The whole campaign will be you attempting Olympic sports.
Yes.
And then being shown up by the real athletes.
Oh, I would do this.
Are you up to face the rest of us?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Especially if I got paid. 100%. Absolutely.
100%.
The Schlub. That's your name, though.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm embracing that.
Yeah. I have nothing to lose. I'm clearly not an Olympic athlete.
Right.
I'm good with that.
You got a good one, Melissa?
I got one. Okay. Good news. They caught the notorious criminal, the Duluth Dump Trucker. Bad news. They look just like you.
Oh.
People won't stop mentioning it. Do you try to change your appearance?
Yes.
The Duluth dump trucker. Ah, that's tough.
And it sounds like it's a nefarious thing. Like, that doesn't sound...
It's a notorious... Notorious. Okay. Criminal.
Notorious criminal.
That everyone now keeps telling you you look like. How far are you going to change your appearance?
I might even move to Duluth.
She's going to embrace it?
Yeah. Do it.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm changing my appearance. It would be really annoying.
We already know from earlier that Jonah would be willing to claim that he was the leader of a cult if the description fit him. Yeah. So Jonah's fitting in wherever.
Yeah. What was that tattoo one?
I don't remember.
Oh, that. Would you, remember. For a certain amount of money, I forget the amount of money.
$60,000.
It was like $60,000.
$60,000. Would you put a big tattoo of a spider web on your face?
Clip art.
For 5 years.
Clip art. Spider web clip art on your face for 5 years for $60,000.
No.
My wife said absolutely yes.
No.
No, she didn't.
Yeah,
she did. She did.
She's probably like, I'll cover it,
remove it,
but with
it didn't
makeup.
Say you couldn't cover it. So
yeah, but
$60,000.
It's
sure.
The 5 year part. That's fine for me. Like,
well, and lasering tattoos is not comfortable. Do you want that on your face? Lasering a tattoo off your face?
I didn't say yes. It was my wife.
All right, Jonah.
All right, I have one more.
I'd take the money and run.
After a wild accident with a city bus, you've walked away unharmed with a $1 million settlement. The city has made it clear they're going to pay you not with cash, but with buses worth $1 million collectively.
What?
Are you going to collect?
What kind of buses are these?
I guess city
yellow
buses.
School buses, $1 million.
I guess city
worth.
Buses, $1 million worth of city buses.
If they're worth $1 million, like honestly worth $1 million, you could just sell them for $1 million.
They can't be brand new though.
If they're honestly worth $1 million, it's no difference.
It's yeah, just it is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Where are you housing these buses?
But
and where are you working? To
if they're worth $1 million, I think you.
Do you have bus contacts that we need to know about?
Yeah, well, how are you selling these buses?
I'm just saying.
Do you have to pay taxes on the bus, and then when you sell it, do you have to pay tax on that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe not in a settlement.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're just dropping the buses off at your house. So. Ryan says he's okay. He's got a guy.
Sure.
He got a guy.
All right, last one for me. While camping, you become friendly with a ranger. After a few beers, he asks if you want to meet his friend Sasquatch. I don't usually introduce him to strangers, but I think he'd like you. Just try not to spook him. Do you go into the woods?
No.
No.
Nope.
No way.
Sarah's like, I've seen this movie. No, it doesn't chance. End well.
No chance.
I don't know. I'd do it.
Oh, man. It's so funny.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, you want me to read this?
You don't have
I thought
to.
This was the card you just
no,
read.
No, it's totally
so
different.
So I was like, this isn't the same words. What? Whoops. You're dead, Jonah. You can live eternally in paradise, but it seems to be populated solely by people who hated you in life.
Uh-oh.
Or you can skip paradise and go somewhere else. Do you hang out with your enemies for eternity?
For sure. What's the alternative?
Well, if it's paradise.
Right.
Somewhere.
It can't be that bad.
That would be tough. That would stink. But I think I got to do it.
There's some really good ones in here.
There was a good number that were making me laugh a lot earlier. And again, this is coming all from the game TBH.
Cut.
From Cut Games, which they have the two that we played, TBH and Keep It 100. Both of them are headed straight to retail, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
I'll have to get you a date or something. About when they're heading out, but thanks for playing along with us. Man, we enjoyed it. We always enjoy it. Having a great episode, talking to you about Kickstarters and games we've played and
yep.
all sorts of other stuff that we're up to. Essen, and of course, we'll see you guys next time. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy your day, wherever you are.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.